ready, but I don't play that game. Cause you could be my greatest friend. I'm nobody's friend, I'm a demolition man. I'm a walking nightmare on Arsenal Avenue. I kill conversation as I walk into a room. I'm a three-line whip, I'm the sign of any man. I'm a walking disaster, I'm a demolition man.
Barb Snellgrove from Queer FM. You're listening to Rainbow 24 Voices on CITR Radio 101.9 FM. Hi, this is Barb Snellgrove. You're listening to Queer FM on CITR Radio 101.9 FM Vancouver. What a great way to start your day.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Oh, well, well, welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners, however you've decided to spend the day with us. We are very, very, very glad to have you. And you can probably hear, I have someone on the phone. You may hear that breathing. And with it, I've got a very special guest on the show in celebration. I'm really excited to be on this time slot because I'm usually on at 10 o'clock on Wednesday nights, which is usually the sexy hour. And I'm really excited because there's somebody that I absolutely had to have on my show. And so it's been really, really great that I've got the lovely, the wonderful Tim Richards for Vancouver Pride Society. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Caroline. That was an awesome intro. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm really glad.
I'm really happy to be here today to talk about Vancouver Pride and the upcoming Pride celebration.
Well, there's a lot going on, which I'm really excited about for that. And thank you so much for being part of it, especially today where it's Rainbow 24 Hours. So it's pretty exciting in terms of everything. And I couldn't imagine not having you on the show. So I'm so glad. So tell us a little bit about Vancouver Pride Society for those who, I think most people know about the parade, which is so awesome. But what is the mission of the organization?
So, yeah, I hope everyone knows about the parade. If you don't know about the parade's going to happen on Sunday, August the 5th, and it's a wonderful part of our celebration. The mission of the Vancouver Pride Society is to really celebrate pride. So we have a couple of purposes. The first is the celebration of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, twin spirit, and in queer communities. And basically, we celebrate through educational activities and festivities throughout the year. Mm. And we really want to promote self-awareness and celebrate the achievements and the visibility and diversity of our communities and with our partners and allies. And it's a lot of fun. We do a tremendous amount of work And that's all accomplished by some really wonderful volunteers, an amazing group of very dedicated professional staff, and through our community partners. So,
I think that's fantastic. And that was one of the things I wanted to touch on is why Pride? And you guys have been around now for, since I believe 73, if I got my research correct.
You've been around for a long time. Why Pride?
that's a great
question.
And how has it evolved over time? Because I imagine in 73 it was a lot different in terms of where the roots of the organization started and just how it's evolved, and especially in Vancouver.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't a celebration in 1973. It started off the first march. It wasn't a parade at that point. Was a protest march. So, and that's how things actually started for the organization, and it's evolved dramatically, I would say, over the last 34 years. And it's pretty amazing, I think, if you look back over three decades of what's happened and what rights and freedoms we have in our country today compared to other places in the world. And I think as an organization as well, we've grown tremendously. In the last 5 years, we've gone from a smaller office to a bigger office, from having one staff person. And in peak season, we have five staff that help to pull the celebration together for us this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's neat to see just how things evolve over time. Also, like with partnership engagement, people who want to work with us as well. One of the former presidents, I had a conversation with her last year, and she was talking about getting different media coverage and how excited they were to have a paper actually cover them. So they were like, this is so amazing. Because many, many years that just didn't happen. There was no media coverage. It was where we go and you look, if you look at the Vancouver Pride site today, you can see the number of our media partners we have. So that's really neat. And I think that's a wonderful reflection of where we are as a society, that people really want to work with us and they want to celebrate with us and also understand what the issues are.
And I think that's really, really key because I know for us, for at CITR, we're a huge supporter as well. I think 2 years ago, I actually got to broadcast live from one of the floats during the parade, which was pretty exciting
for
me.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And I remember coming around the corner where Connie Smudge was above Safeway there just before you get onto Denman Street. And I'd had her on the show just before, just chatting about some of the highlights for the festival. So it was pretty awesome. And she was like, there's Caroline from Sexy in Van City. So, and tried to mimic
awesome.
My sexy voice.
I have to say, the parade's one of my favorite things. It's always an amazing feeling on Pride Day. It's a pretty exciting period of time. So.
One of the things you touched on earlier was that the pride is what everybody, like the parade, and this, listen to me, I'm like the pride, is one of the things that everybody's really aware of. And I know when I think of the society, it's the first thing that pops in my head. But you mentioned there's also other education and so many other events that happen throughout the year. Would you like to touch on some of those and just how people can get involved and what some of those opportunities are for both education as well as some festivities?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for us, the Pride season kicks off at the end of this month at Eastside Pride. And one of the things we do, a lot of outreach, so we actually have a committee, and if folks are interested in joining a committee, we have a number of different committees, and one of them is called Outreach. And through that committee, we engage with volunteers to attend different events. A lot of the events we attend are Pride events held in the Lower Mainland region. Vancouver Island as well will be attending Victoria Pride. And we also are focused on reaching out to other parts of the community as well, the greater community. And so you'll see us at Car Free Days at a few of those locations coming up as well. And we're going to be in the Canada Day Parade, which is kind of neat. We've been in the Canada Day parade for a couple of years. So it's another way that we kind of reach out. And part of it is talking about promoting our events. One of the things that we've been doing for a number of years, we have a map of the world that basically shows pink countries being friendly, I guess, providing more rights, being more inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And then countries with black being less inclusive. And it's always an eye-opener for many people who don't realize the rights that we enjoy here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the educational parts that we do. It's just awareness around what the world looks like. So, and the visual of seeing the global map and just seeing that, I think, is quite powerful. So we usually take that to any of the outreach type events we go to. Certainly, we'll have something set up at Eastside Pride on June 30th. So you'd be able to come see that. The other thing that was done over the last few years on our 30th anniversary, we created 30 Moments of Pride, which is a neat display, and it just shows different images and articles of 30 years of Pride.
Mm.
And so that's also another way to kind of get a glimpse of a bit of our history and a bit of our past, which is kind of neat. So we will have that set up at Eastside Pride. So people can come take a look and take a walk back through time.
Wow.
Yeah, it's neat.
It is really neat. And where is Eastside Pride for those who may not know?
Great question. It's going to be in McLaren's Park, just off of Commercial Drive.
Okay.
So.
No, I think that's lovely. You're mentioning in regards to it, we've got a lot more rights here in regards to coming out in Canada. And I know a couple of years ago, I think Barb Snellgrove now does a show on I Love Her to Death.
I know. She's wonderful.
She's fantastic. And I believe at the time she was one of the grand marshals for the parade when I had her on the show years ago. And I remember just being absolutely shocked in California, of all places, about not being able to get married and being really surprised about it. And I'd be curious just in regards to just almost an update in some of the places that we may be surprised about. That would be the black areas of the map.
Well, most recently in the news, of course, Iran, which is a very dangerous place to be these days. There were four men that were actually executed or slated to be executed there. It's just quite a sad reflection. There's a number of nations that don't have great track records when it comes to human rights. The Middle East, of course, and there's certainly areas in Africa that are also not safe places for people identifying as LGBTQ. So it's really unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
And then there's places where things are changing, so which is on the flip side of that, where we're seeing more and more states in the U.S. actually changing the laws there over time, which is wonderful to see.
It is.
But it takes time.
Yeah.
And every society, every community progresses at a different pace, it seems. So. And I think for many people, if you're not able to be authentic and be who you are, that never happens quickly enough. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and certainly in Canada, I mean, one of the things we're still waiting for as well are more rights for trans people. So,
what are the rights right now? And forgive me for being ignorant, but I figured if I'm not totally clear, it's really important.
Trans people today are not recognized in charter rights and freedoms, so they don't enjoy the same protections as GLBT or GLB members of the community. So,
and
so there's been a couple of attempts, and I believe there's another one in front of Parliament today to update the laws to be more inclusive.
Is it challenging as a not-for-profit? Actually, you know what? I'm going to change that. I hate the word not-for-profit. Did you know in Latin it actually translates to no progress? And that drives me crazy because I think we should all be called social profits because we are investing in society and it's changing things. But in regards to just the recent changes about not being able to do as much advocacy, like, for example, David Suzuki actually stepping away from his own foundation because he wasn't able to actually speak out on certain things. And I was just going to ask in regards to with Pride, is that something that ever is a concern in regards to speaking and trying to change rights, especially with the trans community, as you're mentioning?
I think if you look at how we engage with our community, we really, like, as a Pride Society, we provide an opportunity through the parade and festival that we put together every year to give different community groups. And I absolutely love what you just said about the nonprofit. It's really for community, right? So for the public that these organizations exist. Mm-hmm. And we really need to figure out how we rename that, eh?
Yes,
so
we do.
I think what's great about the Pride organization is that we provide that opportunity for different groups, different opinions to parade with us and present those messages and also participate in our festival as well and provide that opportunity for the greater community to interact and question and talk to many different community groups. So I think that's the neat thing about the Pride celebration is it provides an opportunity to bring many people together. And I think that's the power that Pride creates every year for us during that period of time. So.
And I think that's really key, where I think it's important to give people an opportunity to celebrate, because when they feel good, they're able to start talking about things. And sometimes if we focus on all the negative stuff about, hey, we want to change this, we want to change that, and those conversations are important, very important to have. But by doing it in a place where people are feeling good, by celebrating, hey, this is where we are, we're celebrating who we are, and that's see how we want to change the world moving forward. I think
absolutely
it's a better,
agree.
More exciting space to be.
It's really exciting because it provides for a brief period of time, a very safe space for people to come and find out more information and to be amongst other like-minded people who, have similar values and believe in the power of embracing diversity and inclusiveness. And I think that's wonderful. And I think by having different conversations, and as you suggested, it's not just about perhaps demanding, but starting that dialogue with people and having an awareness about different issues, and that's a wonderful thing.
No, I think that's wonderful. We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, I want to touch more on about coming out in Canada and multiculturalism, because I know we've touched on in terms of the black areas on the map where the human rights aren't as recognized, and basically in Canada, because especially Vancouver, we're very diverse, very multicultural. I'd like to touch on that when we come back. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Ever thought about volunteering with Big Sisters? Maybe now is the time. Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland provides girls aged 7 to 17 with a champion, a mentor who's there to simply be their friend and cheer them on. Become a study buddy tutor and spend 1 hour a week helping your little sister learn to love school. Or become a big sister and spend 3 fun hours a week just hanging out with your little sister. If you're age 19 or older, please visit bigsisters.bc.ca to find out more. Maybe now is the time.
On Friday, June 1st, for 24 hours, CITR is going to paint the airwaves rainbow. Starting at 6 a.m., CITR programmers will be producing an entire day of queer content in celebration of Pride season around the world, delivering messages of hope, fun, warning, and whimsy that may also include offensive language, sexual themes, and excessive on-air nudity. Listener discretion is advised, while indiscretions are strongly encouraged.
Winnie Cooper presents the Thursday Concert Series at 560. With one of the biggest video walls in North America, 560 is quickly becoming one of the nicest venues Vancouver has to offer. It currently houses four floors, each presenting you with a different musical vibe. In the coming months, the Thursday Concert Series will showcase some of the biggest local and international acts to hit town. The Thursday Concert Series at 560 Club, located at 560 Seymour Street in Vancouver, BC, presented by Winnie Cooper.
This just in, Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock, CITR 101.9 FM presents Cabaradio. Join host Teddy Smooth as he explores the chi-miracle, the hysterical, the phantasmagorical world of burlesque and cabaret. Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock, CITR 101.9 FM brings you Cabaradio.
And we are back in Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us right now, we are talking to the sexy, the wonderful. He's got a great, great voice. I'm going to have to meet this man in person. Tim Richards from Vancouver Pride Society. So welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Caroline. That's a wonderful intro. I'm very flattered by that. Thank you.
You're welcome. I think I'm blushing a little bit too.
I am. So. I'm definitely blushing. I blush quite easily, so thanks.
See, this is when I wish sometimes it was a Skype thing and somehow or another I could actually just pop it up immediately to YouTube or something like that and just kind of blood out of the water. But then again, there's also that wonderful thing about radio where you can imagine things, which just can be really fun too.
Agreed. That is really fun.
So during the break, we were actually just chatting a little bit about multiculturalism. And one of the things for listeners who are just joining us right now, we were chatting about before the break as well, that the Vancouver Pride Society, when they do the education pieces, have a map of the world and different areas and coding those in black, that the human rights are not as great as here, and I'm saying that to be very kind. And one of the things I wanted to touch on is just in regards to, because Vancouver is a really diverse, very multicultural society, if any things ever come up sometimes in regards to different cultures, especially for first generation, etc., if there's been any comments or anything like that
specific to
the community, to Pride, etc., or has it been fairly not too bad? So, like in,
I think for the Vancouver Pride's Pride organization, one of the things that we absolutely attempt to embrace as much as possible is inclusion. Mm. So, and over the past number of years, you'll see, and I keep coming back to the parade, but just the number of different community groups and pride groups from different ethnic backgrounds that participate in our parade every year.
What are some of the ones? Just paint me a picture.
So, recently I went to a fundraiser for a Filipino pride parade entry that's coming up, or will be part of our parade entry, and they did a really awesome event where they brought a number of different members of the community, including, I forget her name, but she's apparently a quite well-known actress in Philippines, to help raise some money for their pride entry, which was really cool. And I get to participate in part of that. And it was a wonderful evening, and I think they did really, really well raising funds. So that's one example of a culture that's very open and accepting, very inclusive, which is wonderful. And certainly, you know, you could look at different parts of the world. And again, we talked a bit about the Middle East earlier, but where you'll see different, again, in our parade celebration, you'll find there'll be different entries. And traditionally, we'll have different groups that will come and participate in March. But for those folks, that's a very difficult thing to do, and you certainly could not do that in any country other than, I'm not sure where else you could do that in the Middle East, I think. So it's kind of a scary situation for those folks.
No, very much so. I'm just thinking back to 1973, and the fact that, and I think it's interesting, you said that one of the very first thing was a march, where it wasn't a parade, where it's a celebration, it was a march. And how have rights changed in Canada? Just kind of, and I know I'm touching on this, and I love the history section on your website.
Oh yeah, I know.
Being a history
the history section on the website is really well done.
It is.
So there's a Canadian history part one and two. You know, things in Canada changed over substantially over the last 30 years from when it started as a march. And certainly if you're in many parts of the, well, most of what Pride parades are actually Pride marches in America, for example. We're here, the nomenclature is Pride Parade. So marches still exist in most places, and it's, you know, to be a political protest. And in our parade as well, there's still political messages. People come and they want to raise issues. And again, we touched on earlier about trans rights, so the need to be inclusive with the trans community, how important that is. And
And I think that's a really big one, especially with trans rights. When I'm not on Sexy and Van City, I do volunteer a lot in the downtown east side. And I know one of the participants who's involved with one of the programs that I work with had ended up incarcerated. And that was really heartbreaking because she self-identifies as a woman. But because she's pre-operational, she was not, they actually put her in the men's section when she went to prison. Which was really, really traumatic on so many different levels for her. And eventually ended up having to put her in isolation, which, again, is really traumatic on that level as well. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about that just when you were mentioning just in regards to trans, where there's not the rights. So, and I think that's really heartbreaking.
Agreed. It is. It's very heartbreaking.
I think in the trans community, though, there are people speaking out as well. Like, I know there was a wonderful trans conference a few years ago where it was both F to M as well as M to F. And one of my favorite people, Gwen Hawthorne, who did the, just to remember what her movie's called, which is terrible because I love it, where it's documenting her, A Boy I Used to Be, where it's a great documentary where she was married and just her transition over 10 years where she documented
Fantastic.
It. And I'm hoping that we'll have more opportunity to have more voices like that be heard. Because I think it's really important as things change.
Agreed. I think it's happening, which is wonderful. Again, is the pace fast enough? Probably not for many people, but it is happening, which is wonderful.
So trans is a big one in regards to things like, because we've got a lot of really great successes. We've got marriage now that is, but what are some of the other things in regards to things that we'd like to, like 10 years from now, well, let's be honest, let's say next year, if we could like click our, you know, our ruby slippers and make them, you know, just fast forward time really fast. But
I think the other topical issue in media today and certainly around the world is anti-bullying and legislation around that, how different provinces approach that issue. So that's certainly something that I think as a gay man you experience as a teenager, and it's a very difficult thing to go through. So for many people, you know, it resonates. So bullying, whether you identify as LGBTQ, you know, many people are picked on in school. school. And certainly, I think as a society, we need to figure out how do we create safer spaces for individuals. So, and specifically, how do we create safer spaces for teenagers who are going through many changes, but mm-hmm. certainly may identify
and I guess
as a minority group. So.
That's a huge question, is how do we, in regards to the anti-bullying, there's some great stuff with the Pink Shirt Day campaign. I know Mr. Gay Canada, that was one of the platforms in regards to being a spokesperson in regards to anti-bullying, which we had Ryan Clayton was just on just before me, and Brian Webb, I know I had him on the show when they were up in Whistler, which was quite exciting as well, and that was one of the big ones. And recently as well, there's been some research through the McCready Center as well, which they do a lot of research in regards to being Asian as well as LGBTQ as well, and mm-hmm. where it's double, you're twice as likely to become bullied.
Yeah, and the, you know, bullied and then suicide rates are a huge concern as a result of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's the University of Quebec was recently received some funding from the Quebec government to study the mental and physical and sexual health impact on homophobia or phobia. So, you know, mm-hmm. it's these types of things, this investment back into this type of research that hopefully we'll see some results from over time, and certainly legislation and more awareness.
Mm-hmm.
This year during our Pride celebration, we always have Gay Day at Playland, and this year we're going to turn Playland pink.
Ah.
And we're inviting a lot of our different partner organizations to come and join with us, and that will be certainly a major focus around homophobia, mm-hmm. or phobia, and just to find out more information about bullying and specifically what can you do. So we'll have a number of different community organizations joining us there during that day. So encourage folks to come out to play in Playland with us and to learn more about what's happening in our community locally.
I think that's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
It is. My brother came out when he was 15, so... and just resource-wise, there just didn't seem to be as much around in terms of support back then, and we're going... Yeah, he'd probably hate me if he's listening to the show right now. Yeah, that was in the late 80s, so I'm definitely dating
him.
He may be. He's in Toronto now, so he'll probably listen to the podcast and scream at me later. But,
yeah, that's awesome.
But it would have been really wonderful to have and to have more resources for him at the time, because I think that would have been really helpful, because he was definitely bullied in school. And it actually started way back in elementary school, where they were teasing about being gay before anybody knew what gay was back, when he was in kindergarten, believe it or not. So it started really early on, and just there weren't a lot of resources. So
It's a very difficult thing to deal with. Gay Day and Playland will have folks there. If anyone's listening and they're curious and they're not out, this is one event that you could go to and kind of be on the, on the sidelines, so to speak, but mm-hmm. still see lots of different people in the community. And those who are comfortable will be wearing pink, but there'll be resources there, which is kind of neat. So I think that's a great example of doing an outreach where you can kind of go to a public place and then find out more information or see other people who identify as yourself. So,
mm-hmm. And in regards to that, if you had someone come up there who was considering coming out and they're really absolutely terrified and they were able to open up, what would you like to say to them?
I think every individual, you know, it takes time. It takes a lot of courage, a tremendous amount of courage. And I think what I would tell them personally is that when you finally make that decision, there's a tremendous sense of relief. And it's a wonderful feeling. And I can tell you, last season during Pride, I went out to Surrey Pride, and I spoke with someone who had just come out, and there's this feeling or special spirit. It's hard to describe, but it's a wonderful thing that you can see how happy the individual is by coming to that realization or having the courage to accept themselves wholeheartedly. So it's one of the reasons why Pride is so special. Mm-hmm. I personally came out after attending my first Pride celebration in 96, and it was because I had seen the Pride Parade and I'd seen many different people in the community. Prior to that, I hadn't really been exposed to many people who were different. So, and that was the wonderful thing of going to that celebration. And for me, that was a change. Definitely had a huge impact. So I think, you know, events, that's why I think like the Pride Parade, the Gay Day of Playland is important. So for people who are questioning, it gives them that opportunity to see other people and engage and talk to other people that may identify as you the same way that you identify. And I think that's incredible, having that safe space, that type of environment.
And safe space is a really, really, really key important thing, because I think it's important to, because if somebody feels comfortable and they're able to just be themselves, I think it empowers not only them, but their entire community, everybody around them. So I think it, and maybe I'm a little Pollyanna about this, but I think it makes it a big deal. And it's special.
Oh, I agree. I think it's huge. When the power of having everyone show up, whether it's to work or to school, and to be who they are, it's tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
And I think organizations, the greater society, people who realize how powerful that is, it drives things. It drives everything. So many successes. So,
How did you get involved with the society, the Vancouver Pride Society? Because now you're president, which I think is so awesome. And congratulations. And
thank you.
You're welcome. And how did you originally get involved, and what made you decide to be part of the community in that way? Because a lot of people get involved, they, you know, want to be part of the parade, etc. But actually, the board stuff's the stuff that's behind the scenes, which can be the hard stuff sometimes. So with the governance piece, and making sure there's enough both the resources to achieve the mission. So for you personally, how did you get involved?
Well, the parade has had a huge impact on my life.
Yeah.
So that's actually how I got involved in the Pride Society. And Kim Coolen, who was the past president, invited me to help out with the parade. And that's how I actually got involved. And Kim was, I believe at that time, he was the chair of the parade committee. And that's how I started to get engaged. And I very much, you know, I wanted to give back. I think it's the whole volunteer system, I mean, it makes you feel great, right, to be able to make a contribution and to give back. And I think that's a wonderful thing about every organization, but certainly with Pride, for me, like giving back and being able to be a volunteer at the parade has been wonderful, because it's something that helped change my life. And it's something that I really am passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And then just over time, I actually got more and more involved, which has been great. And last year, I served secretary on the board, and then recently was appointed interim president. So it's been great. It's definitely, as you said, there's a lot of governance activity that happens in the background. And I can't say enough about the people who put so many hours into volunteering to make the celebration happen every year. It takes about 600 volunteers to do Pride. And there's five wonderful, dedicated professional staff members who pull all this together for us during the season.
Mm-hmm.
They do a tremendous amount of work. But we do always need lots of people, and there's lots of fun activities that you can get involved in. I had a couple of friends who volunteered last season making hats, which is really cool. So we do an event called Picnic in the Park. and it's in Stanley Park every year. And it's such a fun event, and it's for families to come out, and we do a lot of different events, like traditional picnic events, so we'll do three-legged races, fun stuff like that. And last season we had this hat maker who does this really cool stuff with paper hats. So if nothing else, if you want to come out and see some, make some hats with this fun lady, I think that's one really cool event to see.
And I think that's one of the things too, is I've noticed the Pride Society, the parades become more family friendly.
I'd say probably the last three to five years. The interesting thing about the parade is you don't know who's going to come. So who's actually going to show up? So it's that's not by direction. It's just, I think, an evolution of what's happened, who's participating in the parade. And I think, like any artistic event, it's kind of neat to see what kind of happens. And how these things evolve over time. But certainly, it's wonderful to have an event that's family friendly, of course.
Mm-hmm.
One of the neat stats is actually, I believe, out of a parade, over a third of the parade watchers identify as straight.
What was the percentage of parade watchers that identified as straight? Sorry, I didn't catch that.
About a third.
A third. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So hopefully, that number will increase over time, which would be wonderful too.
No, I think that'd be absolutely fantastic. Be good. We're going to take a really, really quick short break. And when we come back, I know it's going to sound silly, but I really want to touch on marriage.
Okay, let's talk about marriage. I don't know, Carolyn, if this is going to work with us, though.
Should I be pouting now or later? You've been listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right, and I'm giggling, so it's a good thing I'm calling a break. We will be right back.
With a mission to provide food and related assistance to those in need, the Greater Vancouver Food Bank Society is a non-profit organization dedicated to providing food and related assistance to those in need. The Greater Vancouver Food Bank collects and distributes food to over 25,000 people weekly through 15 food depots and over 100 community agencies located in Vancouver, Burnaby, New Westminster, and the North Shore. The food bank does not receive any government funding and relies solely on the generosity of individuals and organizations willing to donate food, funds, and time. For more information, visit www.foodbank.bc.ca.
Do you love food this much? Then you need to be at Eat Vancouver in the BC Play Stadium, June 1st through 3rd. Eat Vancouver is the ultimate food and cooking expo, featuring celebrity chefs, hundreds of retailers, and of course, a vast array of amazing food and drink to help you discover your next culinary destination. For more information and to book your tickets at a $2 discount, go to eat-vancouver.com. Sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM.
SFU Woodwards presents Myth, The Golden Dawn. An original electronic opera, The Golden Dawn will be performed in two intimate shows at the Goldcorp Center for the Arts. For Myth's live show of elaborate and handmade costumes, visuals and lightings, they have created an electronic opera that weaves a story told in theatre, dance and video. The Myth plays Studio D on June the 22nd and 23rd. Showtime at 8 p.m. Tickets are $20 and can be purchased through sfuwoodwards.ca.
Thursday nights, Chocolate Milk is going to be serving up some classic house and indie dance realness with some retro 80s, 90s dance and hip-hop at the Shine Nightclub on 365 Water Street with DJs G-Love, J Douglas, DJ T, and CITR's very own David Love Jones, host of African Rhythms. Cover is $5 and doors open at 10.
Sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM.
Vancouver. Vancouver Friends for Life Society is a non-profit organization which enhances the wellness of individuals living with very serious illnesses by providing complementary and alternative health care and support services. 50 programs and services, 1,500 members, 300 volunteers, 20,000 holistic health appointments a year, 850,000 in professional health and services a year. For more information, go to friendsforlife.ca.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no? At the Vancouver Aboriginal Child and Family Services Society, our mission is to protect and value our children, our future, our responsibility. We invite you to come join our circle of caring. We are seeking caring people in the greater Vancouver and Richmond areas who are willing to share their homes and provide foster care for Aboriginal children in need. Contact us at 604-216-7447 with any questions or visit us at vacfss.com.
Thursday nights, Chocolate Milk is going to be serving up some classic house and indie dance realness with some retro 80s, 90s dance and hip-hop at the Shine Nightclub on 365 Water Street with DJs G-Love, Jay Douglas, DJ T, and CITR's very own David Love Jones, host of African Rhythms. Cover is $5 and doors open at 10.
Sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM.
Back in Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, you're part of Rainbow 24 Hours on CITR today. And I'm Caroline with Sexy and Van City Radio. And if you're just joining my hour, what I am doing right now is talking to the wonderful, the sexy, the talented Vancouver Pride Society President, Tim Richards. Welcome back to the show. Oops.
I'm stuck. Hi.
Oh, you are there? Okay. For a second, I was like, oh no, I technically made a mistake. But you were there. That's good. I thought I scared you when we started talking about marriage on the break.
Oh no. I'm not afraid of marriage. But I'm certainly not going to propose anytime soon to my my boyfriend, if he's listening. So, it's way too early.
How long have you guys been together?
It'll be 6 months.
Congratulations.
In just a couple weeks, so. Yeah, it's been fantastic.
I think that's fantastic.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Yeah, no, relationships are important. They've actually done studies that couples that stay together for a long time actually live up to 10 years longer.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I absolutely
as long
believe
as
it.
Happily
that's a wonderful
married
thing.
Is the key. So
pardon me?
Happily.
Happily?
It's the
happy.
Key word in that.
Yeah. So. Definitely a key ingredient to being together is to be happy together.
It really is.
Yeah.
One of the questions I was going to ask in regards to resources, and I know there's like some great ones in the community, literally, like community mm-hmm. as well, and there's Out in Schools, etc. So there's a lot of other organizations that you, I imagine are you partner with as well in regards to some of the different pieces. And for now that there's more focus in regards to the option of getting married, is there more resources in regards to just on the financial level, like just things that you kind of need to do before you get married? And I'm thinking like very 1950s right now, like back in the, gosh, I'm going to sound terrible, back in the olden days when where people would actually, if they were, say, getting married in a church where they'd have to go in, and I always thought it was a really interesting thing where they'd actually have to go through quote-unquote marriage counseling kind of thing where they'd actually set up to make sure their value systems were in alignment before they actually got married. Like, did they want children? You know, their views about money, etc. And just in regards to, I'm hoping in the community, and if there isn't, and there's somebody listening who wants to tweet ideas as well, just that some of that stuff might be able to be talked about in terms of education pieces as we continue to evolve.
That's an excellent question. I think the wonderful thing about our community is the diversity of the community. So I think you'll find that people embrace perhaps the 1950s concept to a very modern twist, which is kind of cool. So I think you'll find a little bit of everything in the spectrum. And perhaps that's why we identify with the rainbow. I believe that if you were to take a cross section of our portion of the community, you're going to find people that embrace many different traditions, who want to make those traditions their own, mm-hmm. and celebrate in a special way. So, absolutely, cool. I don't think you're. It's not something that you can just say a gay wedding's a gay wedding and it's this way, which I think is kind of a cool thing. Mm-hmm. Everyone's unique, which is so cool.
Which is really good. So it will not be like the one in Sex and the City 2, which was incredibly painful to watch, which I don't. Hopefully you didn't watch that horrible movie, but...
Okay, I won't comment now.
Or your thoughts on it, I'd be very curious. I was appalled at just how it was just all, with the whole Liza Minnelli doing that Beyonce song about putting a ring on it and all that stuff. It was, just made me shudder. Yeah. So,
too funny.
If you could wave a magic wand and basically in perfect world where Vancouver Pride Society didn't, you've achieved your mission, where there's so much pride and everything. What does that vision of that world look like?
The vision?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's what everyone, in their heart wants. They want to be able to be who they are in a safe, loving, open environment.
Mm.
So, for example, I want to be able to hold my boyfriend's hand in any part of the city and not feel that I'm not in a safe space,
mm-hmm.
Where I don't feel safe in many parts of the city, and I wouldn't do that, unfortunately. But in utopia, in the perfect world, I would be able to do that wherever I went, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't feel the need to look over my shoulder or think, I can't hold my boyfriend's hand here because this is not a safe space.
Yeah.
That would be cool. And for anyone to be able to do that, I think that would be, it sounds like a simple little thing, but unfortunately, the world we live in, you can't do that today.
Wow. I didn't realize there are parts of Vancouver where you weren't able to hold hands.
There are many parts in Vancouver where I wouldn't feel safe. And I think many people in our community would feel the same way, unfortunately.
Well, that's something we're going to need to work on. So what are some things for those who would like a world where people can feel safe holding hands? What can we do to change these things moving forward?
I think each of us, there's an opportunity to have a conversation with, it starts, I believe, just by having good conversations with people. And if you don't know someone who identifies as GLBTTQ, mm-hmm. then perhaps there's an opportunity to reach out. And I think for people who do identify, to have the courage to be out and to be examples of living wholeheartedly and to be authentic and not to be afraid. And that takes courage, of course, but mm. I think that's how we change. I think perhaps we tend to look to the lawmakers, the politicians, different organizations to make those things happen. And I believe we've made tremendous progress in our country. But mm-hmm. at the grassroots level, it really begins by talking to each other and really having those conversations about what do you want? Because guess what? We all want the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're really not any different. just happens to be who the person that we choose to love or fall in love with. And if that's a terrible thing, I can't imagine why. So.
No, and I think in this world where all of us are craving love, dignity, and respect, I think it's so important to have safe spaces where, well, the world, I'd like it to be a safe space where people are able to, without being bullied, without feeling uncomfortable, where it's that wonderful acceptance.
Agreed.
So in regards to Playland Pink, I just want you to just let us know when that is one more time, because I think that sounds like a really awesome day.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome day. So encourage people to come out to the event, wear pink that day, and it's at Playland at the P&E, and it's going to be on Saturday, July 14th, and starts at noon. And again, we'll have different community organizations that partner with us, providing information on anti-bullying, and it's always fun. It's always a fun day when you go to Playland, so that's always cool, and it's another way to celebrate Pride. So encourage people to come out for that.
I think that's fantastic. And you're mentioning that if somebody was wanting to get involved where, and I guess this is one of the things I wanted to just touch on as well, because you're set up as a registered charity, right?
We're a nonprofit organization, but we're not going to use the nonprofit social word anymore, right?
So. Say, let me just jump in there.
I know, social it's pride. One of our pet peeves. So we're for public. So whatever the right word's going to be moving forward, right? So.
Well, evoking social change. So.
Yeah, exactly. Evoking social change.
So if people wanted to get involved, whether they want to volunteer on committees, I know you've just hired a wonderful volunteer coordinator who I actually just met the other night, which was how I got in contact, which is quite
excellent.
Cool.
Misha, yeah.
Yes, he's quite lovely. And so I'm just going to do a shout out to him in regards to that. But what are some of the things you're looking for in terms of for committees, et cetera, just kind of off the top, just basic things?
You know, we talked about governance earlier. Mm-hmm. It is a dry topic, but certainly one that's near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. So we have committees ranging from governance to parade, which is always a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Again, I have a bit of a passion for parading.
Well, of course.
To outreach, which is certainly also another really interesting committee. Mm-hmm. Because it involves a lot more of the educational piece, but certainly promoting pride events. And we have a finance committee. So if there's anyone out there who would like to volunteer and help us with financial oversight, that's always a wonderful thing as well. So and a number of other committees that are listed on the Vancouver Pride site /volunteer.
And on that note, do you want to just plug the Vancouver Pride website?
Yeah, you can get to the Vancouver website, Vancouver Pride website at www.vancouverpride.ca. And if you'd like to volunteer, it's www.vancouverpride.ca/volunteer. And you can go through. There's a bit of a system, key in your name, some details of what you'd like to volunteer for. And then our wonderful volunteer coordinator will hook you up and find a wonderful event for you to volunteer at. And maybe you'll end up at picnic in the park, making hats for kids, which would be kind of cool.
That would be really, really, really cool. I think it would be really great. And then for those who, I've got a lot of listeners who are on social media as well. So in regards to the, and what is your Twitter name?
It's Vancouver Pride.
Perfect.
So. You're going to be able to find us if you search under Vancouver Pride. You'll be able to search us out.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. Is there any last words you'd love to leave our listeners just to help them ponder and inspire them?
I'd like to say that Pride is a wonderful day, and it shouldn't be celebrated just one day of the year, and it'd be wonderful, as we talked just a few minutes ago, to really be able to be open and inclusive and embrace the diversity that's around us and create that wonderful spirit of belonging and And that's what we hope for 365 days of the year.
I love it. I think it's really important to have a world that everybody's able to love who they want to love and be loved back, where they don't need to deal about stigma and just feel good, just because, let's be honest, all of us want love.
Agreed.
I think it's a basic human need if we did a Maslow's hierarchy of needs chart. I sure know it's true. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Carolyn. This was really, it was wonderful. I really appreciate you inviting me on the show today, and I hope to see you during Pride Week.
Well, I hope to have you on the show before Pride as well for my show, which is usually Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock at the Sexy Hour. So that would be fantastic, closer to Pride or perhaps closer to Playland. So.
Oh, that would be fabulous.
Which would be wonderful. So thank you so much, and hopefully we may see you and some of our listeners at the Cobalt tonight, where we've got more LGBTQ celebrations for some a lot of voices being heard for Rainbow 24 Hours, which is very exciting, where we're trying to do 24 hours of programming. But you can actually be there, meet some of the hosts like In Saint from Queer FM, Barb Snellgrove, some pretty amazing people. And it's a great opportunity to celebrate, connect, and also meet some of the awesome people from CITR as well, which I guess I'm very partial to, obviously, because I'm here.
And you're one of those wonderful people.
Thank you. And I will be back next week at the Sexy Hour of 10 o'clock on Wednesday nights as my voice dips into that sexy, sexy thing. So have a wonderful, wonderful night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Music Waste is Vancouver's premier independent music festival, highlighting our region's most exciting and innovative bands. Come out between June 7th and June 10th to see shows by Apollo Ghosts, Capital Six, Phoenix Thunderbird, Ketamines, and Weed, as well as art and comedy. Full festival passes are only $15 and promise an unhealthy amount of awesomeness. For more information, visit musicwaste.ca.
Tuned in to CITR 101.9. We're going to transport you over to the Cobalt, where there's a live broadcast.